What is the 1888 message? Is it biblical? Appendix B, Chapter 1. Introduction. A proven path to soul winning. A 5x divorcee with a heart like stone comes casually, flippantly to Jacob's ancient well. Casting only a side glance at the Jewish stranger, she makes sure she won't notice him. But he notices her. Tired, hot, and thirsty as he is from his journey, he does not sit in silence. He wants to win a soul. He knows precisely the right way, often to us unknown, to arouse this worldly person whose prejudice has already closed all doors, so she thinks. And look what happens. In the space of a few minutes her cold heart is melted, she is in tears of repentance, ready to receive joyous good news and start a genuine new life as a missionary. How can Jesus have such phenomenal, insightful power to win a sin-alienated heart? We can carelessly answer, "He was divine, and had something we don't have." But he tells us, "Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." Now we have come to the time when those greater works must be done. The loud cry of Revelation 18 is long overdue. Jesus wants a soul-winning evangelism explosion that will outdo anything our denominational committees have dreamed of. A worldwide network of humble church members who will learn from Jesus how to win souls as he did at Sychar. His secret? We suggest he had experienced corporate repentance. See him there. Without approving of the lady's sins, he understands the inner pain of her beaten-down heart, and thus has found an avenue of entrance, touching a chord of music that has been silent even through 4 or 5 marriages. But was it really mysterious, what Jesus knew? Or can we learn the secret from him? Shortly before, John had baptized him. But that meant a prerequisite of repentance on Jesus' part. For the only people that John could baptize were those who had repented. But Jesus never had sinned. Then how could he let himself be baptized? To be baptized without repenting would be hypocrisy. For John's divinely appointed mission was only the baptism of repentance. Acts 19 verse 4. John knew this, which was why he refused him the rite. But here's the wonder. The sinless Son of God lets himself be lowered into the water the same as any common sinner, making a public confession of repentance. It's puerile to think the reason was he merely wanted to show us the physical method. John could easily do that. Or was Jesus to make a bank deposit of merit to be transferred to some disadvantaged people like the thief on the cross? Jesus actually did experience repentance. He had to, or John could not have baptized him. But his repentance was not for his own sins, but for ours. Therefore it had to be corporate. Totally sinless, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He identified with the human race so closely that he felt that our sins were his own. How do you feel about your sins? Don't you want understanding and compassion? Sure. So Jesus learned how to feel that burden in behalf of others, including this 5-time loser at the well. Our problem is to understand why he was baptized. Because that experience prepared him for the greatest 3.5 years of soul-winning ministry heaven has ever seen. Now the earth must someday soon be lightened with the glory of the third angel's message in verity, when a multitude of all nations and tongues will join him in winning every loser in the world who will leave the door open just a crack. Rather than a few celebrities doing it on screen or through electronics, that fourth angel's ministry must be performed largely by humble people communicating on a personal heart-to-heart level. Their training? Seldom that of literary institutions, but a clear knowledge of good news better than for a century and a half we have thought it is. The message of the third angel will be proclaimed. As the time comes for it to be given with greatest power, the Lord will work through humble instruments, leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves to his service. The laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of his spirit than by the training of literary institutions. The people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands will listen who have never heard words like these. Servants of God, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed. And signs and wonders will follow the believers. A large number take their stand upon the Lord's side. Ellen White wrote all this before 1888, when at last she heard the most precious message. She recognized the beginning of its fulfillment. Then she added, "One interest will prevail, one subject will swallow up every other, Christ our righteousness. The dynamite-like power is in that precious message itself, as Jesus told his 12. Don't load yourselves up with equipment. Keep it simple. You are the equipment. The 1888 Good News is the beginning of the most efficient evangelism we have ever heard of. The program is virtually self-propagating. When someone understands and believes it, the message incarnates itself. He doesn't need to be prodded into witnessing. All the devils in hell can't silence him because he is motivated by agape, and since God is agape, agape does the teaching that is necessary. How can a worldwide lethargic, lukewarm church be transformed into the living fulfillment of those prophecies and prepare to receive the multitudinous woman at the well? Ellen White has said the Lord will only work to bring in his my people of Revelation 18 verse 4 when the church is beyond infecting them with the popular disease of lukewarmness. The message to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans is dramatically linked in Revelation with the events of chapter 19. The latter can never be fulfilled until the former is experienced. And that takes some melting of hearts. Our task in this presentation is to try to understand A. the repentance Jesus experienced, and B. what he means when he commands that angel of Laodicea, be zealous therefore and repent. We suggest the answer may be something implicit in the message of Christ's righteousness. Corporate repentance, which is repenting of the sins of others, knowing that they could be your sins and would be your sins, but for the grace of a Savior. You have no righteousness of your own, not even 1%.